following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee.
Home office.
Still a laugh, isn't it? It's episode 322. It's Easter Sunday. It's the 12th of April. It's the date of production on this whole deal. How's your Easter going? Man, I tell you, with all of this stuff that is going on with the current thing, the situation, the pandemic, if you will, everything's getting all turned around, upside down, messed up, trying to figure out what the hell's going to happen, where we're going to go next, what are we doing? Everything's in the air. I tell you, there's a massive amount of, well, not that I should be shocked by this, but there's a massive amount of stupidity that is out there regarding this sort of thing. And I was kind of cruising through the news here this morning about, just as you do, looking at different things and, you know, what people are saying and what's going to happen and, you know, what can we expect down the road and what's the president saying, and not that anybody gives a shit anymore. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that's going on. And one such thing is the idea that we could all be going back to our quote unquote lives as early as next month, with a lot of warnings and a lot of caveats. And that's the thing too, is we're all kind of like, okay, what's going to happen now? What's the situation? What is life going to be like? Is it going to be different? Yeah, it is. I think a lot of people are expecting it to be like, oh, it's just going to be just like it was before the virus came. No, it's not. There are too many people out here who are trying to say that it will be just like it was in the old days. And that's not the case. As a matter of fact, sort of on topic for today. Well, kind of on topic. Because I want to talk a little bit about the news here. For example, the Department of Justice, right? The DOJ. Out of Washington, they said that they are expecting to take action next week regarding the impact social distancing regulations are having on religious institutions across the country. There were so many churches, some of these big mega churches out there that said Easter Sunday is coming, and by God, God he's not going to let our people get this virus, and everything's going to be hunky dory, and everything's going to be great, and Jesus protects us, and God protects us, and blah blah blah. And we've heard this before the virus started spreading around to people in the congregation. Because some of these quote unquote churches are more about the money than they are anything else, clearly, because, you know, if ain't nobody showing, ain't nobody paying. You know what I'm saying? that's what they're doing. Oh my God. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not demonizing all of organized religion. Pardon the pun, but the idea here is that, I mean, there are some legitimate churches out there that don't think along the lines of these mega churches. And there's some that out there, they're just too busy sitting there saying, oh my God, you know, there are some that say you need to stay home. You need to, you know, hey, check us out online. We're doing an online thing now, you know, and that's reasonable. You know, that's perfectly fine. There's a ton of them that are out there. And here we are in the midst of it right here in this pandemic. And a lot of churches are saying that that's the way it's going to be. Will that be a permanent thing? It might be. I'm not saying that people will stop going to the church services once they open up the doors, you know, and let everybody out. But here's the thing. A lot of churches will probably find that, you know what, we could do both, and we could do okay with this. You know, we could stream our services, and there's, you know, yeah, there's a thought. So, you know, yeah. And right now with the news moving around the way that it is, you got, like I said here, you got the DOJ getting involved because they want to go after these churches that were saying, you know, hey, we're going to be groovy. Everything's going to be fine. We'll have to see what shakes, because so much is moving so quickly. And it's this weird flow of the news cycle, because everything is happening at this lightning quick pace right now, and nobody has all the correct answers. That's the weird thing. And we're seeing now some of the after effects that's going on. There's talk now that that the president of the United States had at one point had asked Dr. Fauci of the National Institutes of Health. He said, why not just let this thing just roam, just let it wash over the country? And he said, Fauci said, excuse me, Mr. President, if you lost your mind, there would be at least a million deaths if you did that, if you don't try and stop it. And he's like, eh, gets everybody back to work faster. That's what you're working against. You know, it's nuts. So that's really kind of what I got to say about that. But in the meantime, as we pause here, we're going to come back. We're going to get into something that, that happened to us at Radio Memphis. And, man, it could not have come at a worse time. It really, I laugh about it now because it's behind us. But oh my goodness, the things we lost in the flood.
Wizards is corona-free and is your headquarters for your essential quarantine supplies. Their viral sale is happening right now with deals throughout the store. Get some sage to chase away the bad stuff. Incense, woodwick candles, decorative fans, and things to keep you busy while you're stuck at home. T-shirts, bandanas, hats, and more on sale right now. CBD, Kratom products, and personal cleansers for that job interview. Open 10 to 10 every day at 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Or get it all delivered when you order online at wizardsmemphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Yeah, it's raining right now here in Memphis, where I'm recording this at the home studio. And we had a lot of thunderstorms, a lot of, a lot of booming, a lot of activity out there, a lot of rain, lots and lots of rain. And it's making me a little nervous right now. Because I don't have a problem with storms. I love them. I think they're great. Thunderstorms are a lot of fun. Heavy weather is exciting. What's not so exciting is what happens to all of this water. Because last week, I didn't get into this too terribly much last time, but last week, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, Friday week, water came flowing into the studios at the Emmons building at 4745 Poplar. We're in the lower level down there. Right. We're technically, well, we're the basement, for God's sake. Let's not too put fine a point on this. Friday morning, LJ and I were doing our thing that Friday morning, not this past Friday. And at about, a little after 10, I think it was, I ran upstairs and water was coming from underneath the door that leads into the breaker room for the building where all the electricity goes in. And it's also where the elevator has its motor is there. It's where the elevator lives. And I stopped. I had my phone on me. I immediately, while I was standing there watching the water come in from under the door, I called the management of our building, the folks over at Graber. And they could not have been, I have to say this right out of the chute, they could not have been more nice about the way this was handled. They're pros. They really are. Kay, Donna, that run the whole thing. Of course, Mr. Graber, he's just fantastic. And the building supers, Carl and Cortez and William, were on this thing immediately. And they worked so quickly to help mitigate what could have been a far worse situation. Because by the time they got there, right after I had called, and by the time they got there and brought a restoration crew in, there was a quarter inch of water that was in every room of our suite. We have four rooms down there. We have two studios. We have another control room and our lobby. And it was all filled with water. Well, filled. I mean, it was a quarter inch deep. I mean, it was, thank God it wasn't sewage. It was storm drain water is what it was that came. And I was like, well, wait a minute. It wasn't raining. In fact, it was a beautiful day. How could this possibly be? Well, there was a series of events that came across as we were going through this. Naturally, the city came out very quickly because they don't like hearing about these sorts of things. And there was a dude that came in and made an inspection, and he told me that what was going on was, and they've been in the, and thank God this happened so quickly, but there were some crews there. They were not responsible for this, but there were some crews there. They're mapping out the entire sewer system of the city to update the entire thing, to bolster the infrastructure of the city, if you will. So they've been working on that, and this is an ongoing thing. It's like a, 10-year plan, and they happen to be in our neighborhood. So they were able to clear the stoppage is what it was. It was a stopped up storm drain, and they could clear it, and that way the water could drain back out. And then, of course, we'd have to go through the process of cleanup, which I'll get to in a moment. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you suppose to cause this? And he said, And of course, none of us were really pissed. I mean, it was frustrating. I mean, what can you do in a situation like that? You just have to kind of roll with it, and you do what you can to, you know, mitigate any further damage. And you know it's going to be a long process, and it was a whole week, as a matter of fact. But anyway, they found that there were area restaurants there in the Poplar Perkins area, and maybe further on east of us, that were putting grease down the storm lines, down the storm drains, which is illegal. You can't be doing that. That's why they have grease traps. That's why restaurants have to maintain a certain, I don't know, code of ethics, if you will. There are certain rules that are in place here to protect the infrastructure from idiocy like that. And the reason why you keep grease out of the storm drains or out of your drains in general is that it acts like cholesterol. It, you know, it sticks to the sides of the pipe and eventually it blocks it off. And when it does that and the water can't drain further on down the stream from you, that means it's got to back up. And it came back up into our room, into our studios, into our suite. Oh my God, what a mess. It was absolutely horrific. It smelled like Louisiana down there. No offense. Look, dude, I can say that I was born there. But man, that's what it smelled like. It smelled like a backwater bayou, big time. And the crews came in and they did the 911 restoration is the name of the company, if you want to know. Good fellas, Rodney Bell and his crew, they came in and they sucked the water out, which leaves you with wet carpet. And we had area rugs. I still have them. They're dry now. They're fine. Everything's gonna be fine. They got the water out, so now they have to get the rest of the moisture out of there, right? And this is down in a room that has no real ventilation per se. I mean, we have our front door, and then we have the door out of the parking lot, which we kept open to help air this thing out. It was so humid down there. And it was so hot. One of the things that would happen is I'd be walking around down there and I'd put my glasses on to look at something and my glasses would fog up. I mean, it was that bad. So anyway, they brought in four massive dehumidifiers, or as Rodney calls them, a dehu. And they brought in about 18, I think it was like 18 or 20 fans. These are the fans that sit on the floor, duh. And they blow air horizontally up underneath carpets or across the surface of a carpet. And they suck in air through the top. So we had all these fans everywhere. And they had to take these measurements constantly. And these dehumidifiers were pulling water vapor out of the air. And they were filling up garbage cans with water that was pouring out of the air. It was remarkable. I'd never seen anything quite like this before. And of course, we're sitting there thinking the whole time while this is going on, oh my God, we're going to lose everything. You know, we're just, you know, we keep our computers and all of our electronic equipment off the floor. it seems like a wise thing to do anyway. Everything is elevated. And like, I think even the radio station computer itself, the broadcasting machine, if you will, sits on top of a milk crate. You know, it's off the floor. All of our processing gear is up off the floor in these racks, you know. There's really nothing on the floor aside from the floor switch for a couple of lamps. And I was in one of the rooms where one such switch was, and I went to kick it out of the way and shocked the ever-believing Jesus out of me, not even thinking about it, because that sort of thing happened. So I'm just making sure that certain systems were powered off. There was nothing in the water that was going to cause a problem. The last thing we needed was a freaking fire. So at any rate, I'll get to the things we lost in the flood shortly, but the restoration crew really worked kind of around the clock on this whole thing. And I was back and forth. I was spending a lot of time there. Of course, LJ and I did not go on the air this week because of that. We just couldn't. I mean, it was too noisy. It was impossible to work in this situation. And I had made the joke about it. While we were waiting for the crews to show up, we actually hopped on the air to tell everybody that this was happening and that we were probably going to have to sign off. And I made the joke that if I was even in, like, you know, waist deep full of shit, I would still try and broadcast. And it almost came to that. Thankfully, not on a literal sense, because had that been raw sewage, oh, Jesus Christ, that would have been a whole thing. But there was a lot of things that could have gone horribly wrong. For example, this happened on a Friday, right? It happened on a Friday morning. Had this happened after we had left for the day, which would have been late in the afternoon, 4-ish-ish, 5-ish, if we had left there and then because of the pandemic, nobody's doing any other shows on the weekends down there, including the blues show, of which I miss terribly. But that's a thing. There would have been nobody in that suite, in the studios, from Friday afternoon all the way till Monday morning. Had nobody been down there, nobody would have known that this would have happened. And had this happened after we had gone for the day, and it would have sat there Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and without them really stopping finding the plug in the storm line, there's no telling how much water would have come in down there. It would have wiped us out. It would have done us in. It would have killed Radio Memphis for a while. I don't know. We'd have to replace all that gear, start from scratch. It would have taken us maybe a month to get us back onto the air. It was a really frightening situation. But at any rate, if you're going to go through this, this is how you would want to do it. And that's what we did. And thank God the people that were involved in there to help us put everything back together did what they did. They were a super group of folks. And so this morning, Easter Sunday, I'm sitting there watching the rain come down, and the first thought is, oh boy, I hope that line down there is clear. I hope everything's draining. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's fine, because everything is fine. So what did we lose from this? I'll get into what we gained. We got an appreciation for the way things operate and the way things are, and an appreciation for the fact that there is no situation here where one individual is the hero. It takes a team to survive anything like that, and it takes a team to get through anything in this life. It's a reminder of such a matter. There is no heroes in the world like that. You know, there are certain standout individuals who come in just at the right time. But by and large, you know, we're just all along for the ride, and we have to adapt ourselves to these situations. And you know, during all of this, I was never really terrified about it. I wasn't even that worked up or nervous about it. I was just like, the whole thing in my head was, oh Jesus, I got to deal with this, you know, in the middle of everything else that's going on. And it happens. It's the way it goes. And like I said, these people came in, they came in and worked with us in the midst of all of this, everybody wearing respirators. I did take some pictures. I don't know if I'm going to post them yet because they're horrific. But there was, you know, people, like I said, they're wearing respirators. They're wearing masks. There's people that all of a sudden the pandemic doesn't really matter anymore. We need to do what we can to get this situation sorted out, because here's the problem. When you have water like that, no matter how long it stands, you have mold issues very quickly. And these guys came in and sprayed everything. They sprayed everything down with Microban, something very similar to it's hospital grade stuff. We're back to normal. And like I said, it took a week for that to happen. But yeah, we had to think about these sorts of things. Some of our furniture, you know, there was a concern there. They wanted to make sure that like any fabric that hangs off of a piece of furniture that touches the floor is going to soak up water. And all of that had to be considered. Thankfully, I think there was like one of our chairs in our lobby that has that. And that was all sprayed and taken care of. And we really couldn't see any residual damage from that. So that was good, because we didn't want to be in a position where everything in those studios had to be thrown out, because that wasn't going to happen. We couldn't make that happen. Most everything down there they're wood pieces, you know, it's wooden furniture or plastic or metal. So So there's that. And on all of this, it was LJ and I, we were talking. I was like, man, you know, we could be sitting here in a pool of COVID for all we know. Well, what the hell? This is absolutely horrific. Well, we got through it all, thankfully, and with the help of everybody, because, you know, this is what you do. I was more of like a more of just a passenger, really, on this train ride, and answering questions as best I could and worked with these folks as best as we could. We literally got knocked off the air twice, and it happened because they overloaded the electrical circuits down there with all the fans and shut the computers down. So we sorted that out, and we did what we could to stay on the air, which was what you got to do. And it worked out fine. We stayed on the air, and while all this was going on, I was not could do down there because there's fans blowing all the time, and it took what, 5 days, I guess, to get everything dried out. Our partner in crime on our tech end, Mr. Jeff Janowitz, and I had worked late one afternoon into the evening hours, redoing our, what do you call it, our audio only feed. It's the feed that feeds TuneIn. We had been doing business with a company that decided they weren't going to be in business anymore, apparently, and they haven't responded to any emails or phone calls or anything like that, and left us twisting in the breeze along with some other folks. We wound up moving to a different company, and we had to completely reprogram a server for that, and that took us several hours. But we've got it, so we're now back on TuneIn. So those of you that like to listen to Radio Memphis via the app, via the TuneIn app, you can certainly do that, And so we're still tweaking it. I know it's got a couple of issues. For some reason, the Chrome browser on a desktop doesn't work quite right on the player. I don't quite get that, but we're sorting that out. Mobile, which is where everybody is anyway, is running fine. So there it is. All of that has happened. There's been some positive things there. But that wasn't related to the flood. What did we lose in the flood? Aside from our dignity, we lost two pieces of equipment. Well, one and a half. I lost a battery backup system that was actually sitting on the floor. The thing is, it was no great loss. It was because the battery in it had long since expired. This thing was ancient. This thing is, I don't know, how long have we been on the air? 7 years? 8 years? 8 years old? Yeah, it's done. So I moved everything over to a different power conditioner. Everything's fine. And, you know, that's that. So that wound up in the dumpster. And the other thing I lost, if you want to call it that, was a mouse. Not a rodent. The main computer mouse we use for the broadcast. As it turns out, we didn't really lose it. What we lost was the fact that the thing was so humid in there that it made the batteries freak out. So I took the batteries out of it, and I left the thing open. And while everything was drying, I left it laying there. It was on its back like a dead mouse. and it's fine. And I put some fresh batteries in it. It's running great. Everything's clean down there. Hell, it could even eat down there now. So that's the story of what had happened in the flood. That was the things we lost in the flood. But I tell you, we gained more than what we lost, and I will be eternally grateful for that. You know, the fact that for any given moment, your life can quickly turn on, you know, on a dime, as you will. We're all dealing with this pandemic, which is quite frightening. We're learning more and more about what COVID-19 is doing to people. You don't want it. You don't. There's still a group of people out there that are like, you know, it was just like the flu. It's like, dude, yeah, okay, the flu kills a lot of people, but it doesn't do it like over a week. You know, hospital systems are completely overrun right now. And you know, there's some good news that's coming. It seems to be that we're sorting to, you know, maybe flatten the curve some. This forced me into a position to, you know, really think about where it is that I go and what is it I do, and wearing a mask at certain places. You know, in fact, there's a little store here that I go to get beer, and they have a sign on their door. It says, don't come in here without a mask. Don't be wearing gloves either. They do that because the gloves are supposed to stop cross-contamination. So your gloves, you don't know where those gloves have been. You've been touching shit all day long. Better off just coming here with your bare hands because you're at least going to wash those. At least you should be. You know, get you a little respirator. You know, put you a bandana on your face, for God's sake. You know, do that. And that makes everybody feel a little more comfortable. It's the world that we're going to live in now. And that's what I started the program with, is how are things going to change? And they will. Our lives will change dramatically as a result of this whole thing. I think we'll be looking at things a lot differently. We'll be looking at our healthcare system, I think, primarily. And I think we'll also be looking at those that were in charge of this and how it was handled on their part. You can draw your own conclusions. I'm not going to draw them for you. There are some ideas here that, you know, that are going to be laid bare for all of us to really kind of wrap our heads around. And it won't be about, I don't think it will be about outrage or anger or frustration. There'll be a lot of frustration, of course, but there's going to be a little bit of it, a little bit of anger, a little bit of outrage, but it's not going to be a thing where, you know, we can't allow it to be a thing about pointing fingers so much as, okay, let's get all of this behind us and let's take what we have learned from these situations. Because every situation provides its own opportunities, I should say. And this is one of them. This is a situation that will be a touchstone for us as a society, as a civilization of people who live here and exist communally. We share so much. And we'll have to look at these things. We'll be looking at the possibility of maybe more than often wearing a mask, you know, maybe washing our hands a lot more. You know, we should be doing that anyway. We'll be looking at the way the way our society operates. It's not going to go back to 100% normal. There's no way that's going to be. That's never going to be like that. We're going to have to be a lot more conscious about the way it was in the world and the way we treat our fellow man. There's a lot of questions that are still out there. If you want to know what I think about it, I'll tell you. Something seems horribly wrong about, or something missing about this whole testing scenario. I don't get that. Something doesn't seem quite right. I don't get it. I know of people who got really sick, local people that got sick and tested negative, and yet they had all the symptoms of COVID-19. All the way down to the really rough respiratory stuff, and it was scary. And the doctors just said, well, you tested negative, what are you worried about? Well, okay then. And then come to find out, 30% of the tests that we'd received from China, I think it was, 30% of them, 30% of them gave false negatives. They weren't accurate. 30%. I used the Skittles reference. I think I made it last week. For those that still don't think that this is a very dangerous thing. If I have a bowl of Skittles and there's 100 of them in there and 3 of them are going to kill you, are you going to eat it? You're going to eat, you don't know which ones. You're going to eat them? Of course not. I would think not. We're learning, too, that the people that recover from this have long-lasting effect of it. The scarring of the lungs. And it's also apparently starting to cause some scarring around the heart or of the heart in general. It's the same sort of type tissues that are going on in play here. I'm not a doctor. I slept pretty good last night, but I'm not a doctor. I don't even have all those answers, but that's what we're hearing. You have a guy that was a marathon runner, young fellow, you know, yeah, he's, you know, late 20s, early 30s, peak of his physical conditioning. And he got it and he recovered. And he's been recovered for about a month and he still gets sort of winded when he walks across his apartment going from his bedroom to his kitchen. It's going to take some time to heal that, man. It's going to be crazy. So, yeah, this is not like anything else. I made the absolute, completely horrendous mistake, and I apologize to you in advance for this. I actually heard a little bit of Rush Limbaugh, of all people. Don't ask me how it happened, but it did. And I sat there for about 15 seconds with my hands on my hips, listening to this stuff. And what a blowhard. What just an absolute fountain of bullshit. That's all it was. And it was, none of it was correct. And he, his pompous ass, who sits there behind a mic, and he just, he, and he's beating people over the head with this. He's the same guy whose callers are the ones that are down the hall. They're all scripted calls. You could tell. If you listen to it long enough, you can hear it. Hey, Rush, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you about COVID-19. That's what it sounds like. And you got this guy who's over there, and he's, you know, I'm the smartest man in the world, and I can do this with one half of my brain tied behind my back. Oh, you could do it with far less, dude. Trust me. It takes a lot of brains to try and do something like this, and he ain't got it, and there's just nothing about it. Oh, Rick, you gotta be nice. The guy's got cancer. So fucking what? You know, a lot of people have cancer. A lot of people have disease. There's a bunch of children in Memphis over at St. Jude that have cancer, for God's sake. You know, I'm not pulling any punches because this guy's got it. You know, that's just how I feel about this moron. And it's people like that you have to be careful about, because it's beyond shoving an agenda. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's ego, if it's, this is how I feel, and if you don't like it, you can go screw yourself. That was sort of how it comes across. And I know as broadcasters, we tend to fall into that, and it's easy to do that. But I look at things a lot differently than most. This is what sets me apart from any other person who does a show like this or as a broadcaster. I come at it as I try to be, as entertaining as humanly possible, because that's what really this is about. It's about being entertained. Yes, we're all sitting here in our homes, cowering, hiding from something that we can't really put a finger on. But yet, we're all dying to be entertained. Look. The entire population of the United States of America, basically, most of them, watched Tiger King. Look, I'm one of them. My wife and I, we went through it. We went through all 7 episodes. There's an 8th that's coming out today. This is Easter Sunday. There's an 8th that's coming out today. I have no idea what it's about. I'll watch it. Why not? This is a show that got the collective imagination of America just enraptured. And why was that? Because it had nothing to do with everything that's going on in the world. And it does make you feel better about your own life. It really does. Because, man, you think you have problems. Allow me to introduce to you the cast of Tiger King. It's absolutely remarkable. But that shows you what it's like in this world. And it's the state of mind that we're all in right now. Somebody had put up a dumb post about those are, there are atheists out there hiding from God by not going to church, and then there are God fearing people who are hiding from a virus and all this, and it's all stuff. The atheists question the religious. How do they believe in something that they cannot see, yet they're hiding from something that they cannot see themselves in this virus? And I posted a picture of the COVID virus. I said, what, this? Is this what you're talking about? I'm not an atheist, but I mean, come on. Let's not lay that out there. I mean, there has to be a point where we bring reason back into our society. And maybe this is it. Maybe this is how it's done. I'm not sure. And, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, well, if it took a pandemic, if it took the loss of life, a staggering amount of loss of life to make it that way, sure. Here's the scary thing, though, and I'll leave you with this before I come back for the wrap up. It's going to happen again. You know that, don't you? We're not going to be like, okay, we got through this. No, there's always one cataclysm lined up behind the next. That's life.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
One such amusing thing that I've seen throughout the midst of this whole pandemic is its impact on television. and what's happening in television and what people's mindsets, what's the public thinking about it. Well, here, let's look at something. Let's look at the sport industry, right? The professional sports industry. Every major sport's been canceled or postponed for the most part, and seasons are all racked up, and there's a lot of he and on and what they're going to do and how they're going to figure this out. Pardon. But here's the issue here, and here's something to be considerate of. If the football season, both college and professional football seasons, are canceled, right? If that happens, there are about 50% of Americans who said they cut off their cable subscriptions, just like that. Wow, what's that going to do? That's going to be crazy, right? But there again, are we really missing anything?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, there you go. That's what's coming up next time on the program. This is normally where I would sit here and tell you that coming up tonight on the Booze and the Blues, we'd be doing a show. We'd have somebody notable down there. That's going to come back. Well, we'll be doing that again. I know that's not going to be a change. And that's not just me being wishful thinking. That's just how it is. I mean, because people are still going to go to bars. People are still going to go to shows, and we're going to bring shows, and that'll come back. I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully, I don't know, June, July, maybe in there. Our anniversary of the radio station is the first of July. And that timing may work out just fine. We might have our 9th birthday party as being an end of a pandemic party. And that might be a really cool thing to have happen. So, you know, there might be just an extra reason to, not like we need one, but that might be an extra thing. Survive the flood, survive the pandemic. Yeah, all of these things. So so there's that. Right. Also, I want to hip you to something, too, that seems kind of interesting. I was talking to my friend Steven. Steve Seligman, he's a guitar player for the Lizard Kings, and he's been a lifelong a friend of the radio station, and he's a regular down there in the studio. He's just a great dude. And he was like, "Hey, man, are you hip to House Party?" And I'm like, "Is this the app? Because if it is, I am sort of hip to it. I don't have it, but I understand what it is." And he goes, "Dude, we've been doing," he and his wife Mona have been doing this a lot. They fire up the House Party and they get all these friends together, and they're all in various places, you see, but they're all attending the same thing, and it's all on your phone. So I get to looking into it, because I'm, you know, nowadays you've got to be real leery about what app you put on your phone, right? And this one seems pretty legit. There's no hacking involved in this sort of thing. Nothing to hack. I mean, really, it's just your phone contacts, whoopty shit, whatever that may be. But you got to give them to anyway so you can have all your quote-unquote friends, or you get invited to house parties and stuff like that. And so I put it on my phone. I was horsing around with it. Wound up using the damn thing. I wound up between Jeff and I. Jeff Janovitz and I had a conversation via house party last night, and it was kind of cool. He was showing me around his cabin he has out there in Clifton, Tennessee, and I was like, well, this is kind of cool. Okay, I get it. There's like games and stuff. He play his group games and stuff, and it seems just fun and harmless, but yeah. Now, those of you that have just heard me talk about this plan on inviting me to your house party, I might show up. I just might. I might grab me a cocktail and fire it up and go, "Hey, what's going on?" I brought my own dip. Tonight at radio-memphis.com, the Booze and Blues show, the virus version of it. it'll be happening. It's just music. We'll load up the playlist with some blues music tonight, and I'm not going to be there, but there it is. Now, having said that, tomorrow, Monday, back in the saddle again. The studio has been reassembled for the most part, and we're ready to get back on the air. So assuming everything goes as planned, I will be there 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Radio Memphis in the Morning show. I believe LJ will be there as well. I think he's been a little under the weather as well, but he'll tell us all about all that and all that sorts of fun. So that's happening. So yeah, we're going to try and get our lives back together so you guys can have some sort of semblance of entertainment, I guess. And we're going to do our best for you. You know how that goes. So there it is. That's all I got for now. So there you go. Wash your hands, right? Stay inside. Don't go nowhere. If you got to go to the store, I got to go to the store here in a little while anyway, but you know, we're going to do that. We're going to exercise our precautions, and somebody stays in the car. That's kind of how that works. So there you go. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.